You're perfect, exactly as you are. You don't need to change. There's nothing to do and nowhere to go. It's already here. You're already perfect. Living in Quantum Love with Devra Laval will, in very simple terms, help you to understand that you are not who or what you believe yourself to be. Devra will share her own direct experiences, as well as interviewing enlightened guests who help shed light on our misunderstandings and limited beliefs to reveal the truth that we already are and have never left.
Welcome to Living in Quantum Love. Today's show is called How to Live in Quantum Love in Modern Time. It's hour two. And this is Devra Laval, your host. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network broadcast here at 1510 AM, WMEX, Boston, heard every third Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 5 p.m. Pacific. And you can also tune into my show at Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Thursday at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern, which is 1 a.m. and 1 p.m. Pacific Time. To learn more and for a full station broadcast schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Welcome, everyone, to hour two of my interview with David Hoffmeister, a teacher of A Course in Miracles. And I invite everyone listening to open your minds and hearts to this amazing mystic, this beautiful man, and what he is here to tell us, namely, how to be free from all that ensnares us and causes us suffering, and how to live in love and true joy all of the time. David's own journey involved the study of many pathways, culminating in a deeply practical application of A Course in Miracles, of which he is a renowned teacher and international speaker. Centers have opened devoted to his teachings in the USA, Mexico, Europe, Australia, and Canada. And David has a huge playlist of lectures as videos on YouTube to check out. So David Hoffmeister is, though, a living demonstration that peace is possible. He truly is. His gentle demeanor and articulate, non-compromising expression are a gift to all. And he helps us through with his practical application of non-dual teachings to help us experience the unified mind, which he'll talk about. His clarity about the function of forgiveness in spiritual awakening and his radical use of mindful movie watching in the release of judgment is enlightening and unheard of, really. And over the past 30 years, David travels to the four corners of the world giving workshops and disseminating his brilliant teachings based on the Course in Miracles to extend the message that truth is available for everyone now, for all, and anyone who's called or inspired to listen. David's message speaks to all people. He is as comfortable delving into the metaphysics of the movie The Matrix as he is in pointing to the underlying meaning of the scriptures in the Bible. And his teachings have been translated into 13 languages and taken into the hearts and minds of millions through the intimate style of his books, audios, and videos. His number one best-selling book, Quantum Forgiveness, Physics Meet Jesus, catapults the mind into a true and transcendent experience of peace. David truly is the modern mystic for our modern times. Hello, David. Welcome back.
Hi, Devra. Such a joy sharing this with you.
I'm glad. Me too. David, in Sanskrit, the term satsang means in the company of the truth. And it's such a thrill for me, and I'm sure for all of our listeners, to be able to have satsang with you. And I'm so honored to have you with us today, and thank you so much for taking the time out between your travels and busy schedule to join us. I'm really honored that you did that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really happy that you're here. And we've had questions from people who have written in to you specifically for today's interview. So let's continue with some of those.
Okay.
One of the questions is about surrendering. Surrendering. Why are we so afraid of surrendering?
Well, I think even the term surrender, there's some associations and connotations in our mind that associate surrender with loss. For example, when we were growing up and we were in history class, we would hear all about these battles, one battle after the next, and eventually a lot of these battles ended with a slaughter or a surrender, and so even that was a sense of loss, like surrendering meant losing. And I think when we go on the spiritual journey, we need to start to associate surrender with simply letting go of control and merging or joining together in an integration of our awareness and mind, that we have so associated ourselves with being just a part of the whole, a tiny human being, a tiny part of the whole of the universe, that we associate even spiritual awakening with losing our identity, when in fact we're simply integrating into the wholeness of the heart and mind that we were created as, that we're integrating aspects of our personality, self, and all the things that we thought was separate in this cosmos into a unified perception. And there is no loss associated with that, only an experience of gain. So once we see that surrender actually means letting go into gaining the awareness of who we truly are, then we lose all resistance to that letting go.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful way of putting it. I really, you know, and the surrendering has had a bad rap over the centuries, hasn't it?
Yes, it really has. It's almost like if we would believe all that we've seen and perceived in history, then who would want to surrender? It's more like we've been conditioned by the ego to try to win, and surrendering is associated with losing.
Exactly. Like the mystics, over time, they've gone through some major dark nights of the soul and in their surrendering process. Is there something you could say about that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting you mentioned the dark night of the soul, because I recently was over in Segovia, Spain, to a church where St. Teresa was, and also St. John of the Cross, who coined the phrase dark night of the soul in his writings. And I think that from the ego, as we start to let go and more unconscious darkness comes up, basically it can be so dark and so intense that it feels like our soul is walking through Dante's inferno, Dante's hell, when actually it's just the ego interpreting the spiritual awakening as if the ego is losing something. It's losing its own identity. And in the end, we start to realize we can't lose something that was never ours in the first place. So I have actually met people who have gone through such transformations that they even start to see the impossibility of the dark night of the soul, even though the ego was interpreting a lot of darkness as the transformation was occurring.
Wow, that's so, you know, I'm so glad that you talked about this, because it's a lot of people that open up to their spirit and or whatever path they're on, and they go through, you know, like a hellish time. But the way you've described it, as the ego being the one that's being dissolved, not the true part of them, gives it a whole other angle.
Yeah, because I think everyone who goes through these experiences, and we could call the human condition, is aware of something that's, maybe it's more of a psychotherapy term called resistance. But when I came across the teachings of the Course, Jesus was the first one that I'd ever heard describing resistance in entirely positive terms. And I thought, well, that's brand new. I've never heard resistance in positive terms.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus actually said resistance is the ego's interpretation of progress and growth. And I went, oh my gosh, that's what's happening, progress and growth. And then the ego is simply fighting against that progress and growth because it's afraid it will cease to be in awareness if we go all the way with this.
Could you say that one more time for our listeners? Just that sentence.
Yes, it was quite amazing to me the first time I heard it that the resistance is the ego's interpretation of progress and growth. So really, progress and growth are always occurring. We are being taken back to our love and our oneness and our natural state of mind, but the ego is interpreting against those awakening experiences as if something fearful is happening, when really the love is just returning to our awareness.
I love that. That's beautiful. So the fear and the anxiety and all of that is really, really just the ego resisting, which is a good thing because it means there's some growth going on.
Yes, yes. It's almost like you're being carried along back to your natural state of love, and then the ego is saying, put the brakes on, putting the brakes on, when actually if we take our foot off of the brake pedal and allow the process to unfold, that's the best way, the fastest way.
Well, you're a perfect example of that, so I'm so glad you're here. Because there's so many people that are going through these kinds of times right now. And even this oversensitivity, so many people that I speak to are having trouble with being overly sensitive. They can't go out into the street. They can't go shopping. And do you know, have you heard of something like that going on with people?
Yes, I mean, years ago, I think the first relationship that I was experiencing was actually someone who had developed a lot of allergies, huge number of allergies, and that seems to be a body medical thing, but actually we do learn from the Course that all illness is some form of external searching, and all health is inner peace, and it's a state of our mind. So when we start to feel resistances and we feel overwhelmed or we feel like we're reacting and we're unable to deal with certain situations or stimulation or environments, we really have an opportunity now to use that to see what am I holding on to in my mind that's bringing this awareness or bringing this experience about. So I feel like that's a huge opportunity every time there is like a pushing away of something or avoiding something in the world or even avoiding something on the nightly news. It's just a huge opportunity and inroad to where we need to let go and forgive.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, so helpful. And there's another question I want to ask. Someone has written in, and it's about worthiness. And a lot of people are talking about this these days. And the listener asked, why do I feel unworthy if I'm not producing and achieving?
Yes, I think the worthiness that we have grown up with is part of our conditioning, our cultural and societal conditioning, is very tied into a definition of productivity that involves status, involves our ego mask and ego development and growth. And so we are taught to be very productive, even nowadays, children and young adults, teenagers, and as we move along and move along in the years of our 20s and 30s and 40s and so forth, we are taught that our worthiness depends on achieving, possessing, accumulating. and being productive as defined by societal terms. And there was a Course in Miracles teacher from India who was a Sikh named Tara Singh. And I think that was the first time I'd ever heard it. He one time said, what if true productivity has to do with the depth that we're able to sink into the stillness and silence of our own minds? I just was like, wow, that is a different definition of productivity. So I would say to the questioner that put forth this question that we do have to really question our assumptions about everything in this world, including productivity, status, upward mobility, and the entire mask that we call the personality self.
That's such a. I'm sure my listener is very happy with that answer.
It's been joyful for me because I was very well educated, and I seem to tick off all the boxes for a successful, well-adjusted person in the world. And then at one point, I had to kind of reverse and go in the other direction to find my everlasting happiness.
What you bring to people is that amazing groundedness in it all, because people look at spirituality or unusual things as something that's not grounded. But when you appear, you're so grounded, people can't help but listen to you.
Yeah, I think that's the way the Spirit is using me, because I, after all those years of high school and then undergraduate and then graduate school and taking on jobs and so forth, then I was very well aware of all the stresses and strains that people go through when they try to develop a successful self in terms of this world. And then with the unraveling and undoing process, it was very thorough, but it seemed to take quite a lot of time in Earth time. I'm very familiar with that, so the presence seems to come through where people feel assured, like, well, this guy at least seems to have an idea of what he's talking about, because he has all these experiences on planet Earth that we all relate to. So I'm glad that the parable of David Hoffmeister can be used in a helpful way to let go of all the stories, like Byron Katie talks about, to be able to be in the presence of what is and love what is and drop the stories.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for that one. And I have another question here, when you get your breath here. How do I, this is from one of our listeners, how do I know that I'm listening to spirit and not the ego?
Well, the most direct way is to ask yourself honestly, how do I feel? And if there's a sense of lightness and joy and feeling the peace and love and happiness in a very deep way, in a very authentic way, that is a result of being connected and tuned in to spirit. And when there's any kind of discomfort, whether it seems to be physical discomfort, mental discomfort, emotional discomfort and stress, even mild irritation and a feeling of annoyance or a feeling of even slight disgust or boredom, all of these, we could call even minor upsets or major upsets, are an indicator that the ego is being listened to and acted upon. And so I say that's the most direct way, is how do you feel, because it's very, very practical if you tune in and you come into a self-honesty. The ego is also very ingenious, so it invents a lot of feel-good emotions that are really more fantasy fulfillment and wish fulfillment that Freud talked about, where it's more, whether it's his id and it's these instinctual desires for pleasure and convenience and comfort by manipulating the images and moving off into fantasy, or it's feel-good emotions that are tied into things like even the weather, or to the comforts and conveniences of the generated ego world. Those can throw you off, where you think that you're listening to the spirit, but actually as soon as those conveniences and comforts are taken away, then there's this sense of loss and lack, which just means, oh, I've been following again the imposter, the ego voice, instead of the spirit. So it's good. We learn through experiences, and when we're not really peaceful and supremely happy, then we still have some inner work to do.
Right. And another question, David, about the violence in our world, and everyone asks this, so why is there so much violence in the world?
Well, the world is like a mirror of consciousness, and it's a projection. So Carl Jung, a very, very famous therapist, he called the unconscious mind the shadow. And as long as the shadow is pushed out of awareness, then it seems like the human being is perceiving and part of a very violent world. But it's all a projection of this internal conflict of trying to be the author of one's own identity and the author of reality. So you can start to see how subtle this is, because there's a lot of New Age teachings that teach that you are the creator of reality, and you can create any kind of reality that you want. I would say deep non-dual pathways like the Course in Miracles point to an absolute reality of love and light and spirit that is beyond the images of this world, and start to take the mind away from thinking of this cosmos as creation to starting to realize that spirit, eternal spirit, is creation, and that we are miscreating and using the mind to make up many different variations and versions of ego identity, and that all those versions of ego identity never are fulfilling, because they never are the pure, pristine love and light of this abstract reality. So it's a great question in the sense that it does bring it back to what is it that I want? Do I want to escape from the matrix, or do I want to try to make a better version of the matrix? And as long as I'm continuing to try to make a better version, I'm still going to perceive an external violent world, because I'm still not willing to let go of this authority problem, or this issue of trying to be the author of reality. That's really what the authority problem is. And God or spirit is the author of reality, and it's a spiritual reality, and the ego is just throwing up all kinds of projections and defenses against that.
Well, that is probably one of the most important things for people to hear, I would think.
Yes, it's really core. It's really core. It's kind of like the Course in Miracles, Jesus says, would you rather be right or happy? And what does that mean? It means, would you rather be right about the way that the ego set up this world of conflict and destruction and division, or would you rather be happy? And that kind of implies that you have to let go of the meaning that you've given to the world in order to let the world be shown anew in a beautiful, holistic way. So I've always taken that to heart. Anytime I would get upset on my journey, I would remember, oh, that's right. Do I want to be right about what I'm perceiving here, or whether I would rather just let go and be happy and come back into stillness?
Thank you, David. I'm speechless. But we have a break, so I'm going to have to talk. We have our quick commercial break. In his new book, mystic David Hoffmeister uses seven mind-expanding movies as modern-day parables to guide you into an experience of quantum forgiveness. As a special gift, David is offering the first two chapters of his new book, Quantum Forgiveness, Physics Meet Jesus, to everyone. So to redeem this amazing gift, simply go to davidhoffmeister.com/QF gift. That's davidhoffmeister.com/QF gift. Or just go to my webpage, Living in Quantum Love, at dreamvision7radio.com and click on his link there. And please write to me with your questions and comments to info@devralavelle.com. That's info@devralavelle.com. And, oh, I forgot to spell it. Oh, well. And David's website is davidhoffmeister.com. See you in a few minutes.
Whether you're a longtime spiritual seeker or just looking to make sense of this crazy world, gaining a new perspective by questioning everything, including your learned concepts about who you are and what life is, requires a radical shift. Devra LaValle, Master Life Coach, Visionary, and Modern Day Mystic, can facilitate a profound transformation that isn't about acquiring, but rather unlearning, to reveal the core truth that has never left you. To learn more about Devra's online courses, books, and private sessions, email her at info@devralavelle.com or visit devralavelle.com. That's DEVRAHLAVAL.com.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234.
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Whether you're a longtime spiritual seeker or just looking to make sense of this crazy world, gaining a new perspective by questioning everything, including your learned concepts about who you are and what life is, requires a radical shift. Devra LaValle, Master Life Coach, Visionary, and Modern Day Mystic, can facilitate a profound transformation that isn't about acquiring, but rather unlearning, to reveal the core truth that has never left you. To learn more about Devra's online courses, books, and private sessions, email her at info@devralavelle.com or visit devralavelle.com. That's DEVRAHLAVAL.com. What if everything that you've been taught about who you are and what life is has been untrue? Join Devra LaValle, host of Living in Quantum Love, where she'll explore and dissect the limiting beliefs and wrong understandings that have only served to keep us not only separate from one another, but from our own selves. Living in Quantum Love can be heard every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Join Devra and take a leap to freedom.
Welcome back, everyone, to Living in Quantum Love here on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, broadcast at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. Today's program is called How to Live in Quantum Love in Modern Times. So, David, just before the break, we were talking about something so profound, and I was just looking at the Rumi quote. You know, you quote him saying that out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. You, David, refer to this field as the quantum field and say, this quantum field where we truly meet cannot exist in this illusion because none of the beliefs that built this world have any reality. And you state that we must bring the illusion to truth and not truth to the illusion. Can you explain what you and Rumi mean by this and how we can get there?
Yes, it's, you might say this light that's beyond the veil of separation and division, beyond multiplicity, is the simpleness of oneness. And so with Rumi and a lot of the poets, they were able to use words in the most glorious way to point to it so that you could actually start to feel it just from their words, the poetry, the beauty of the poems that came through. Mm-hmm. You know, we think of Rumi and Khalil Gibran and Kabir, many, many great poets, the transcendentalists, where we start to feel something when we're reading their words. Now, with quantum forgiveness and with the teachings of A Course in Miracles and Advaita Vedanta, a lot of great non-dual teachings, we start to get a glimpse into this transformation, and we are given tools that take us there. So how do we get to the quantum field? I know for myself, I was always quite graphic. I like to draw. I enjoyed art. I enjoyed making maps. And at one point, I was asking the spirit within, I was saying, you know, please make this practical. Can you like give me a map of the mind or a map of consciousness to give me an idea of what I need to go through and how to get there? And so I was given a levels of mind diagram that started off with perception, the perceptual world on the outside ring, and then the feelings and emotions right underneath that that are causing this distorted perception, and then the thoughts underneath that, the beliefs, and finally the distorted center, the distorted altar of consciousness, where the ego first seemed to arise. And I was given a pathway of tracing things back from what seemed to be external causes based on external events to going deeper into the core of where is this distortion originating in my mind, in my consciousness, and how can I access the correction to the error or the forgiveness of the distortion. So to me, it's been a journey inward, and I even have all kinds of diagrams and pictures and images that came to me to try to simplify this and put it in signs and symbols that I could relate to.
It amazes me how you're able to do that with such out there material. I love that. I looked at the levels of mind. Everyone must take a look at this. It is incredible.
Yeah, it's very practical. I think that I didn't want some kind of theology or another philosophical system because I had studied quite a lot, and then I thought, I want something that works and something that's very straightforward, and it's as rapid as it can be, and I'm going to go through whatever I'm going to go through because I want to be healed. I want to have peace of mind. So I really like publishing things like levelsofmind.com and putting out all kinds of of sites like the Online Movie Watchers Guide to Enlightenment. It's at mwge.org. People can actually go and look at an emotional index of what emotions that they're going through right now. They look it up on the emotional index, and then it actually will give movies to help you move through those emotional states. So I think that's very practical. I think it's very more practical than just a kind of a cliche. I want something that I can really sink my teeth into and that will actually work.
Well, you have that gift because whatever someone is experiencing, you have some way for them to get in and get to the other side of it. And that's, I'm just very taken by that. Oh, okay, this is really, really fun.
Lovely.
In your book on page 109, you state, only the mind that is out of touch with the quantum field, deceived into thinking that they're actually people, places, and situations, can feel guilt. Could you briefly comment on this?
Well, yes, we're so accustomed to looking through the filter of the ego and the personality self that it seems like we've got a complicated world of relationships, whether they're partners or family members or those coworkers that we work with or people that we just meet out on the streets and interact with, you know, through the media. And I would say that all of that is a filter. It's a projection of our own unhealed thoughts and beliefs. So just like in the movie Solaris with George Clooney, it's in my Quantum Forgiveness book, he seems to interact with these characters and even a wife who seems to have committed suicide. She comes back when he's near this planet called Solaris, and he's got to face all those emotions and unresolved issues all over again. She's right there in his presence, even though it's breaking the mold. You know, usually when someone's dead, they're dead and gone. But she's back, and he sends her away, and she comes back again, a third time, because he still has forgiveness issues. So instead of thinking of people as people, we can start to say, well, these are symbols that the Holy Spirit is using to bring to the surface of awareness these unhealed thoughts, these grievances that I'm still holding on to. And to me, that is, it's a big shift, because instead of believing that these things happened to me and these people did things to me personally, I start to realize that everything is happening for my awakening. It's that I've called upon these characters to come and help me release the past and the grievances instead of thinking that they're doing things to me. They're doing things actually for my benefit instead of doing things to me. And that starts to dissolve away the reactions.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for that, David. And we'll have a short commercial break now. You're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, broadcast here at 1510 a.m. WMEX Boston, heard every third Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5 p.m. Pacific. And much of this material might be new to some of you, and you likely will have some questions or comments. So I would love to hear from you. Write me at info@devralavelle.com. And to contact David Hoffmeister and to see what he's been up to, go to davidhoffmeister.com. That's davidhoffmeister.com. And there you'll see all of his many and wonderful offerings, from books to workshops, videos, and global events. And who knows, he might just be coming to a city near you. And to receive his free gift of the first two chapters of his best-selling book, Quantum Forgiveness, Physics, Meet Jesus, go to davidhoffmeister.com, QF gift. That's D-A-V-I-D-H-O-F-F. meister.com/QFGIFT. See you after the break.
Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com. Whether you're a longtime spiritual seeker or just looking to make sense of this crazy world, gaining a new perspective by questioning everything, including your learned concepts about who you are and what life is, requires a radical shift. Devra Laval, Master Life Coach, Visionary, and Modern Day Mystic, can facilitate a profound transformation that isn't about acquiring, but rather unlearning, to reveal the core truth that has never left you. To learn more about Devra's online courses, books, and private sessions, email her at info@devralaval.com or visit devralaval.com. That's DevrahLaval.com.
Do you believe that mankind can create a world whose priority is nurturing life, and that love and unity would be the foundation for this new paradigm? Soul on Air on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network provides a unique service to our audience by personally researching solutions that align with our unique value tenets. With these stories, we seek to inspire awakening, awareness, and involvement. Tune in every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time to co-create with us. And please visit us online at nowsharelove.org. This is our story to write. Let's make it a love story.
What if everything that you've been taught about who you are and what life is has been untrue? Join Devra Laval, host of Living in Quantum Love, where she'll explore and dissect the limiting beliefs and wrong understandings that have only served to keep us not only separate from one another, but from our own selves. Living in Quantum Love can be heard every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Devra and take a leap to freedom.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Devra Laval on Dream Vision 7 Radio, and you're listening to Living in Quantum Love. And today's topic is how to live in quantum love in modern times. And David is with us, so we have some more questions for you. Okay, we're leaving this one to nearly the end because I think a lot of people have this question, and the question is, how does sexuality and spirituality merge together?
Well, that's a good question in the sense that the human being experiences wants, needs, desires, and it reminds me a bit of Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where there was the lower order ones, the basic desires, and working up higher and higher towards the self-actualizing desires and needs at the top of the pyramid. So I would say that you cannot transcend desires and wants until there is a purification that occurs. That is really a purification that brings you higher and higher into spirit identification. So the spirit can use everything that the ego made and everything of this world. And certainly when we talk about the human condition, we talk about desire for food and shelter and various wants, and sexual desire is part of that. And so there's no way to reach back to the pure essence of spirit by denying and repressing these wants and desires, and certainly simply by indulging and trying to act out every single desire in the mind, that doesn't seem to work either. It just seems to give a lot of complexity and feelings of guilt. So to me, spiritual guidance, following that intuitive self and letting the intuitive self guide you in all of your interactions and everything that you're doing in terms of daily life in the world, is the way of unwinding from these egoic beliefs in lack and deprivation. Mm-hmm. So spirituality comes together with sexuality at the point of guidance. And I would say nutrition comes together with spirituality at the point of guidance. Exercise and all types of human activities need to be under spiritual guidance in order that the perception become healed and whole. And in that way, it's very, very practical. It's practical to follow guidance on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. So that, in other words, a person would be guided every day as to what to do or what not to do. How could you explain that for us a bit?
Yes. If we come back to the example of sexuality, there is a strong calling and yearning for a sense of deep connectedness and intimacy. And so relationships given over to the higher self or to intuition would be used as mirrors. And certainly, even with sexuality and other aspects of relationship, there's mirroring that goes on, and it helps you get in touch with what's going on in the mind, in consciousness. So it is possible, with a lot of devotion and training, to hear your intuitive voice with greater and greater frequency, with greater consistency, until you reach a point where you experience that your daily life is under guidance. And in terms of, like, a practical example of that is my friend Kirsten Buxton has just released a book called I Married a Mystic, which is from the early days back about 12 years ago, of day-to-day living and calling forth with guidance and acting on that guidance, and the clarity of mind that comes from doing that. It takes you into these transcendent states. And so that was like a little example of a period of years where there was learning to open to guidance, building trust in that guidance, and then now, some years later, she's having these mystical experiences, and mystic is a good word for her right now, too, because she so fully gave her life over to connecting with this guidance and really following it as her life's calling.
That's beautiful. I love the title of that.
It's very catchy.
Yeah. Really beautiful. And let's see. Carl Jung said, I'm so glad I'm Carl Jung and not a Jungian. And I'm sure Buddha would have said, I'm glad I'm a Buddha and not a Buddhist, and so on. Would you comment on that? Because I know that's also an issue amongst the spiritual groups.
Yes, I think that the experience of this expansiveness, the experience of a unified mind, it can't be defined, it can't be codified, it can't be shrunk down into the human condition. So we have a presence like the Buddha, we have a presence like the Christ, and yet the ego will try to focus on the form and following the form, and all of that is just, again, subject to linear time. So the actual experience of the present moment, you know, transcends time entirely, and it's the ego is always trying to have us cling to some type of earthly identity, whether it's being tied into history as a leader or as a follower. It doesn't really care. It just wants us to stay tied in to our littleness, to our tininess, mm-hmm. and to block us from experiencing the vastness of our true identity. So that's a beautiful quote that you gave, because we tend to think of a character like Freud and the Freudians, or the Jung and the Jungians, and even with Jesus, there's Christ, a state of mind, and then there's the Christians, which are believers and followers. And Christ would have us experience that true nature of who we really are that transcends leaders and followers and time and history as well.
Oh, that's really, yeah, that really says it. Well, we'll be moving into our final, we do have a minute left, and I would love it if you could leave our listeners with a thought, a short thought, because we've got a minute.
Yes, well, the thought of just pure love, of how loved we are by our Creator, by our Source, and that the thought I would leave everyone with is that you really can't mess it up. You can't mess the spiritual awakening up. So to relax, to appreciate, to enjoy, and feel the gratitude of the love that's there for all of us and has always been there. That's the one thought I would leave everyone with.
I like that. You can't mess it up. Help a lot of people. A lot of people. That was beautiful. Oh, thank you, David. I'd like to let everyone know that the full two-hour interview will be aired as a special presentation on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, Monday, October 17th, 3 to 5 a.m. and 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 6 to 8 a.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Simply go to my homepage, Living in Quantum Love, at dreamvision7radio.com and click the Listen Live button at those times, or you can listen via Google Play or Apple. Thank you again, David. This has been amazing for me, and I'm sure for everyone listening.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Deborah. It's always a joy speaking with you.
Oh, likewise, David. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in and being part of this adventure today. I invite you to listen to this show again, and please share it with whomever you feel might benefit from these ideas and insights. This show can be accessed again in the archives after October 22nd, 2016. And I'm going to leave with Rumi, and as Rumi has said, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. So all my love, and meet you in the field soon. Good night, good afternoon, good day. That's it.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
It's been such a lovely time to share with you. I'm so grateful. This is ideal to be able to share it in this kind of a forum.
Is it? Oh, I'm glad, because I couldn't hear you for the first part, and it all came together.
Yeah, we had to trust.
Yeah, we had to trust. Yeah, wing it. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So I know you're off. Are you going to China now?
Yeah. Yes, I've just been packing this morning, and I'm off to Beijing, China, tomorrow afternoon, and then do a three-day weekend, like a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, coming up this coming weekend, and then have a couple days to be there with some friends, and then go off to Tokyo and do a weekend gathering there in Tokyo, and then down to Australia for events in Melbourne and outside of Sydney. So it's a little mini world tour.
It is. It surely is. And how you fit me in, I'll never know.
Yeah, well, it's great. You made the request quite a while ago, and then I looked at my schedule and I said, well, in between a silent retreat at the monastery and the flying to China would be a perfect time. So it's very good. And another friend of mine, Bill Free, who has also up in the Boston, Massachusetts area, he has a show called Pure Presence that he wanted to pre-record like you're doing. So I worked it out for early tomorrow morning. So the spirit is slotting me in before I get take off flying through the skies.
Oh, my goodness. It's amazing. Well, this will have music to it and all of it once it's put together. It's just,
beautiful. And I think on my sheet it said something about the airing of the show will be October 16th, but then I remember you mentioned something about the 17th, too, when we were here on the air. So is it which one is the first showing?
Live is the 16th, so it'll be this show on the 16th,
the first hour
of it, and then on the 17th they'll be playing the full hour,
a full two hours.
Okay, that's the 2 hours. Very good. That's nice to know. Well, that's good. I think Sarah has all that information too, and we love to put that out on all of our Facebook pages or on Twitter and the different social medias, because it just will be such a fantastic opportunity for everybody to be aware of you and me and the format and your show and everything. So I feel like the spirit's using it all in a huge way.
Yeah, I feel that way. Thank you, David. That's lovely. And I'm just happy to do this.
No, it's such a precious opportunity. I'm so grateful. I know we were trying to work something out in Western Canada, close to where you live, but it's our connection and inspiration is the one thing, and then to actually get it to play out sometimes into the world, we never know how it's going to go. But this certainly worked so easily, and it just feels like it'll have such a huge impact.
Yeah, I think it turned out well. I'm just really thrilled. And if there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. And I'm happy to, do that. So anything you're advertising or whatever, because I love your work.
Oh, beautiful. I will. I'll let you know if anything comes in.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to hold you up, but I like you.
Thank you. It's been so much fun. I was just telling some friends before, I said, well, this is going to be a delightful hour and a half or 2 hours, because I said we have such a flow and it's always such a joy, and so I really look forward to this. And I'm certainly open if we ever want to do something again. I'm very thrilled to do it, and yeah, it's such a beautiful use of time, so I'm very, very grateful.
Well, maybe we'll have you back again.
Yeah, that would be lovely. I'm so glad about your show. I'm really looking forward to seeing and hearing more of it.
Well, it was a new thing. I haven't had it for very long, only for a few months, and Spirit made me do it.
Yes, you were drawn in. That's the way it goes. We let it happen.
I know. So here I am.
Yeah, beautiful.
So I want to use it in the best way I can.
That's beautiful. I'm very, very grateful. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for all your tech support and everyone who helped make this such a wonderful experience.
Thank you, David, and have a wonderful trip.
Thank you. I will. I'll think of you as I'm flying across the ocean there.
Okay. All right.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The kind that won't slip away. Yes, I'm soaring through.
Please join Devra next time as she delves ever deeper into how living in quantum love can free you from the chains of limited concepts we've been taught all our lives. Devra's personal experiences, along with her enlightened guests, will chip away at what keeps us separate from the truth of who we are. Tune in every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern for Living in Quantum Love on the Dream Vision 7 radio network at 1510 a.m. WMEX Boston, or every Thursday at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern Time by going to dreamvision7radio.com. Visit Devra Laval, Master Spiritual Coach, at devralaval.com. That's DevraLaval.com.